Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I'm in.
Just to let you know about the route I've got planned, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I thought we'd go up the Bishop's Avenue. Have you been up the Bishop's Avenue?
I think I have. I don't know.
It's the most expensive real estate in London. It's hilarious. I've got the Tate and Lyle house at the top, and it takes you out just near Kenwood.
Yeah, I think I know where we're going. I've done it. I just don't know what it's called because I've made the cut through from here to Hampstead Heath before. Is that where we're ending up, Hampstead Heath?
Yeah.
Great.
I'm not sure it's the quickest route, but it's the...
No, but it does avoid the hills.
It's the route I used to take. Oh, no, it doesn't. not at Bishop's Avenue.
Damn
I'm sorry.
It. Oh, okay.
So prepare for that.
Obviously, we're still running, and it was just a toilet break, but I'm running all the way through North London with speech marks in the air, ordinary ultra runner, Gavin Boyton.
And, a lovely drizzle in the air.
Did you see that when I went in the toilet just then, after an hour of running over trees and roots and things, I walked into the toilet and nearly fell flat on my face? I tripped over the threshold and nearly... And smacked into
it. Really,
this is... I've never been this way.
Aha.
Good. Exciting. I know another way. It hasn't got any hills on it.
I know. It's difficult to... sometimes turn away from your familiar route when you're with someone who knows a different way and you're sort of like, oh, but my body wants to go that way.
So, I think, as I say, listeners would be foolish not to want to read Running the Orient because, you know, there's a lot of... It's a great story. Oh, my goodness. We're going under a crane.
Another Harold Lloyd moment Harold coming up.
Me and Gavin and Harold running today. That was totally... We're just about to run under this. Very exciting. We just keep on going. This is possibly the least green part of the route so far. We've still got Highgate Wood on our right. And it's raining again, but it's a nice... It's a mizzle.
It's actually quite pleasant, in a way.
So, yeah, Running the Orient, it's a great offer, and it's an exciting story, and there's all kinds of jeopardy to find out about. What I want to know is to what extent you want to tell us about it and to what extent we have to buy the book and get to the end.
Well, yes, there is a twist in the tale, which I won't spoil. But it wasn't. I don't want people to think it's all about, like, scary moments with bears and feral dogs, because... One of the nicest things that happened was, after a long day of running in the Austrian Alps, which technically I didn't have to run because the train didn't really go through the Alps, obviously. Avoided it like a sensible engineer would, but I was running in the foothills, this lovely German farmland.
It looks like an old-fashioned model railway, just stunning, isn't it?
I was thinking, there's snow-capped peaks to my right, and why am I not up there? So... I did take a little detour for about 5-6 days and ran through the edge of the Alps.
Excellent.
And on one of those alpine days, at the end of a long running day, I meet up with Aradna and Roxy, and we drive up into the farmland, these hills, trying to find somewhere surreptitious to park for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up on a very well manicured but clearly very private road near some farmhouses. Watch out for killer buses.
We're just at the Finchley roundabout where you can go to Finchley or Hampstead Garden Village.
Yep.
And it's stunning. I mean, in a way, there's probably looking in front of you, it probably feels a lot like being in Austria looking at the Alps, doesn't it?
It's beautiful. I love the American car wash there as well. The high points of this particular route.
We're just making memories.
Yes. I don't know why it's an American car wash. Do they do it with American accents?
No, they're armed. When you go, they're armed.
So are you happy with your job, sir? Yeah, I'm very, very happy.
Yeah, I love it. It's
very
great. Happy. I'll be back.
We could go that way, but it's not particularly helpful.
I promise not to wee on your Alamo.
Yeah. So, we're trying to find somewhere for the night. We can't find anywhere. Plus, we're on the road, and we definitely see a sign that says something like warning or private in German.
Yeah.
Aradna speaks better German than I do. I speak almost none. Almost nine.
So, good. I didn't understand that joke.
That was wrong as well, because that was the word no, but never mind.
Yeah.
I speak Niet German.
I'm getting a picture of the car wash, but carry on. You found this lovely...
We passed this, very picturesque farmhouse, and there's a young girl who's planting carrots in a little vegetable patch. And it was almost like a scene from Heidi or something.
Yeah.
And we stopped the van, and Aradna's said, I'm going to go and talk to her, try and find somewhere to stay. And our friend David has come to visit for a few days on the trip. So I'm sitting in the van with David. I turned to him and said...
you had so much room for guests.
Yeah, we could actually sleep four in Roxy, believe it or not. But they'd have to be fairly good friends, put it that way.
That's Roxy, and that's the bongo.
Yes.
I love all those words.
Yeah, so...
David's come to
stay. I turn to David and say, you do realise that Radna's going to come back in about 10 minutes with somewhere for us to stay for the night, possibly an invitation to dinner. And that's basically exactly what happened. This German family, they were like seven kids and two parents... the girl's called Maria, which is just perfect, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Mother's called Maria.
And that was more confusing, but still lovely.
Maria, yeah. Senior Maria, Junior Maria.
Your father was called Maria.
My father was also called that. I can't remember who he's called. Thomas or something.
Yep.
Anyway.
The captain, I think the father was called.
Yeah, the captain, yes. He was rather stern and didn't approve of all the singing.
But he really warmed to us at the end.
Yeah. But we...
Long story short, escaped over the mountains.
Yeah. There weren't any Nazis. No Nazis in the story.
No.
Basically, we went round. They showed us somewhere to stay. It's a stunningly idyllic shot. It's a spot to... Lovely spot to stop for the night. With these rolling fields, daisies and... Mm-hmm. Cows, Frisian cows, and little German farmhouses everywhere, and absolutely beautiful. And that night, they invited us to go around for a campfire, and they're all sitting around a campfire, baking bread, which they get this dough, and they press it onto these onto sticks, basically, and then turn the sticks over the fire.
Did you use your dog stick for that?
That would be quite unhygienic. But basically... Yeah, so we baked bread over a fire and drank beers and wine. And the next day we went over for breakfast. And they had homemade granola, yogurt from the cow, that one. And we brought along some Yorkshire tea bags.
Excellent.
And it was just the most lovely...
Tunnocks wafers.
God, I wish I had some tunnocks.
Iron brew.
Perfect. I did actually get some people to bring iron brew for the journey halfway through, because it is my survival drink. But it was just really lovely to be welcomed into this home by these people who were still in touch with them.
That's so lovely. And I will say, I mean, anyone will back me up on this, but I think that when you really see that kind of Alpine Germany, Austria and Switzerland, it's amazing how it just looks fictional, doesn't it? It's so beautiful.
I know, because you're used to seeing it in Hollywood movies. And
yeah.
And
you hadn't run, before that Sound of Music party, you hadn't actually run that far. You just run 16 going on 17 that day, hadn't you? And it's the shoehorn.
1600 going on 1700.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Something like that. Actually, here's the thing. There's another bit of serendipity.
Yeah.
When we were in Austria, when we got to Vienna, we took a day off, because part of the deal that Aradna made with me was, when we get to these amazing capital cities, you're going to have a tourist day, which I thought, great. So basically what you're saying is, on my one day off running, I'm going to spend it walking around town all day. Yeah, you're going to love it.
Yeah, and it's an absolutely beautiful idea, but exactly that same New York Marathon I mentioned earlier on, I did miles and miles of walking the day before.
Tourism, yeah.
An idiot.
Perhaps unwise. But yeah, so in Vienna, we actually went to things called the Hohenzollern Castle, some Schloss.
Yeah.
And in the garden of the Schloss, I can't even say it.
Schloss?
German for castle, basically. There was the original gazebo from that song.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, good lord.
There you go, another weird bit of serendipity for you. This is partly what I love about these adventures, actually, is you do start having weird serendipitous moments where everything seems to link up. And
yeah.
Without getting too weirdly spiritual.
But also you've got the eye for them, like going right back to the beginning, you know. Yeah. It's the difference between just running round and round and running thinking I'm going to run through, you know, from naming the different bits of the meadows to finding places, iconic places on the other side of Europe. And also when you're open to that kind of thing, that's when you end up breaking bread with strangers and drinking all the beer.
Well, they only have two responses. One is bafflement and one is amazement. Like, either they're like really encouraging and wow, that's incredible, or they're like, why? But in a nice way, they're not. They're baffled, but they can be brought on side.
Did you meet anyone mean? Did anyone get cross with you?
No, and
you said you had you got checked over in the van. Closest, but they were nice.
The closest they got was in Turkey. Now, to set the scene, it's the day of the presidential election.
Okay.
So the first democratic, maybe I need inverted commas, I don't know.
Yeah.
Election they've had for quite some time. Erdogan's obviously the incumbent.
Yep.
And it's fraught, you know, it's fraught. There's definitely an air.
Turkey's all going to be a little bit heightened.
Yep. Oh, so got slight security issue.
We're off. We've just come off the A1, which is nice.
Is this the right one?
And it's stopped raining.
Yeah, we're on what's called Bishop's Avenue, and it's called that for a reason, because this is where basically all the bishops of London used to have their grand houses. These are just the cottages at the bottom end.
Yeah.
These are just the little ones.
It's funny, again, joking about that roundabout being like Switzerland and Austria and Germany, but actually looking a little bit more like it now with this kind of architecture and stuff.
And if you get some full Grecian stuff up here as well.
Yeah.
But you think also I should dye my hair? Look through this, look. A lot of them are just derelict or empty.
Oh, my God. Can we see that?
That's been empty for like 10 years.
Oh, I want it. That's not right. Now, if you see this picture, that's me putting my hand through the security gate to get it. Woo, woo, woo!
If I have to pick up the pace a little bit, as we run away from the constabulary.
So, talking to the constabulary, we left you in Turkey.
Yes, I'm in Turkey.
On the day of the Democratic elections.
A lovely day running over the hills towards this town called Vize, or Vize, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
And I end up running as the sun's...
I'll accept Vize.
Yeah, I'll do. Thanks. That's a good one.
I was nearly too late, wasn't I? But there it was.
Yeah. So, I'm running through this little... It's sort of like a forestry plantation, but very young trees. So it's been put up quite recently. And I think it's okay to run through there. There's some strange bits with parked cars and men sort of huddling in amongst the foliage doing some sort of deal. I don't really know what's going on, but let's not question it. Apart from that, it's fine. And I come over the top of a crest of a hill. There's deer, lovely little deer, leaping away. It's very picturesque. And then there's a fence, but it's only half a fence. You know,
yeah.
One bit of the fence has fallen down.
Yeah.
And there's things that look like old-fashioned, run-down sentry boxes, lookout posts.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, clearly they're not in operation or anything. So I just run through, run down the slope, and then I see actually quite well painted, immaculate looking sentry posts. And there's two young men standing there with rifles.
Oh, God.
One's smoking, one's looking at his phone. Neither of them are facing me. But I think I probably don't want to surprise these teenagers who might well be on national service or something.
Potentially trifles.
Yeah. So I go, excuse me, hi. And I go, I've just gone the wrong way, like stating the blooming obvious.
Yeah.
To their credit, after getting over their bewilderment that they actually had to do something on their otherwise rather dull shift, they phoned down to the base, which was down below.
Yeah.
And this massive people carrier truck.
These houses, look at that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, that one. It looks like a museum.
They all look, it's like, each one of these looks like the White House or Fort Knox or an embassy or something. I thought, I was talking about coming up here another way. I thought the houses on that route were posh.
No.
And they are nothing. That's.
It looks like a mausoleum, almost, that one.
You wouldn't want to live there. So, yes, they sent this. It's like I'm always interrupting you at the exciting bit. This big truck came up from the bottom of the mountain.
Yeah, massive, great thing. I'm encouraged to climb up into it, which I do. There's a young guy there.
We're imagining the point of a gun nudging you.
Yeah. There's a guy there. I think he's a captain. I'm going to call him a captain. I'm not really an expert on Turkish military ranks, but...
Possibly less charming than the captain we mentioned previously.
Well, actually, he was all right. He spoke a bit of English, and he started telling me that he runs every day. It's like 10K. And, oh, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah.
I think this is okay. I'm bonding with another runner.
Yeah.
I might get through this. But then he takes me down to the base. I get gently led through. I mean, they're not rough or anything. They're perfectly nice. Lead me through to this little...
Literally worrying that you're going to get
executed.
But
I'm still worried. I've seen the film Midnight Express. I know that Turkish prison isn't necessarily a place that you want to end up. And that, yeah, that was a while ago, but I don't know. I don't know if the facilities have got any better since then.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Let's not make any assumptions.
No. So, sets me down in front of a guy who I'm going to call a major because I don't know any better.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak very much English at all. In fact, pretty much none. But his aide-de-camp, or whatever you want to call him, does a little bit. And between fractured English and the use of Google Translate on our phones,
yeah.
I learned that they want to look at my papers or whatever. I don't have anything on me. I'm panicking. No. Then I remember on my phone, I've got an e-visa.
Oh, well, good.
So I show them that. So at least I can show that I legally entered the country, just not legally entered their military base. So... and then he says the one word which sets my mind at ease. He says, Captain turns to me, raises one eyebrow and goes, Chai? What? And I know from having an English, Indian, girlfriend of Indian origin, that chai means tea.
Yeah.
And it obviously means tea in Turkish as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
They gave me tea, and it's actually rather nice. And I need a lot of sugar, so the fact that it's loaded with sugar really helps. At that point, I asked if I could send a short text message to Radna, which I do. It says something like, I'm with Turkish soldiers. They're giving me tea. I may be sometime. Something like that.
Yeah. That must have been a serious... but honestly, the moment when you were offered tea, I think that must have been a genuine... You must have felt the whole load lighten at that moment.
I'm a Brit, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to kill you if they've offered you tea.
No, exactly.
Surely.
And conversely, although
would
I wouldn't
be a waste
really
of
want
tea.
A tea, I would have said yes.
Yeah. Always say yes to the tea.
Yeah.
I did decline the second cup. I thought that would be pushing my luck.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And anyway, we've all seen James Bond films. It was drugs.
Yeah. But finally, they clearly see I'm not a threat. I mean, I'm a sweaty Scottish bloke in Lycra. They check my backpack.
You see, you say
no
that in a humble way, but I know people who would be terrified by
it. Well, there was that Scottish guy at the airport. Didn't he kick a terrorist in the head or something?
Yeah,
stupid.
That's right.
Anyway, so they let me go. I got to a very relieved Aradna. And then the next day, of course, we have to return to the just outside the base to start my run again. But... I was hugely relieved. Oh, the scariest moment actually was in the middle of the conversation. The assistant guy, the aide or whoever he was, said to me, he sort of laughed and he went, Erdogan won. And I'm thinking, is he pro-Erdogan? Is he anti-Erdogan? I don't know. I don't know the politics. So I sort of smiled and put a thumbs up. You can interpret this any way you like.
Good news.
Yeah.
Well, that is good stroke bad news.
Yeah, that's an ambiguous response. So, yeah.
Excellent.
And honestly, that was the most threatened I ever felt. And apart from my own inadequacies, getting lost in the middle of forests and climbing fences and tearing my hand open on a fence at one point.
Ooh. So when you said you didn't get any injuries, you didn't get any running injuries?
I got no injuries in the legs. I fell over a couple of times and grazed my hands and knees. But if you're running every day for 110 days, over all sorts of terrain. You've got to expect the odd trip.
Yeah. There you go. That's Running the Orient. I mean, yeah, we all want to read it. I've skim read it, but only in the last few days. I want to read it properly.
Yeah.
And is it out yet, or is it coming out?
It came out during the pandemic, but obviously the worst time to launch a book because.
So just, when did you write it? Was it pre-pandemic then? You wrote in 2019.
Yeah, I think I finished it sort of around about August or something of 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously publishers have
these
long lead
times,
so they can do whatever PR is possible. And I got a write-up in a couple of newspapers, but to be honest, shops were shut.
Yeah.
They weren't buying new books. It's been a bit of a struggle to get the word out, so opportunities like this are much appreciated.
I want our listeners, and we'll obviously do it on the socials as well. I strongly recommend it. This is a story that you want to hear and beautifully told. I think that you've made light of it, but I think that you're I think as someone who runs for fun but is a true believer in running,
yeah,
you strike a really nice balance between telling the story in a way that would be fun and anecdotal for anyone, but you tell the story, you know. We want to know.
Yeah.
Where you went and how you got there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I
also, for this one, on the first book, I did get a little bit of pushback from runners who said, it would be nice to have a bit more insight into how you did this amazing thing from a technical point of view. So
yeah, yeah.
There's little tips. Just every two or three chapters, there's some little handy tips for how to have a multi-day running adventure.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to get onto that in a second.
Yeah, but you said you were planning on doing an ultra or something.
Yeah, I totally am. The other thing is that these are travel books, you know, that your book, my son, he does run a little, hey? But he also really loves reading, and he loves a travel book. He's Bill Bryson's biggest fan, and Manisha Rajesh's Around the World in 80
Trains.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He loves that stuff. Let's get out. They're filming here.
I think there's a film crew.
We're going to have to
film crew filming possibly at Kenwood.
Yeah.
So we might have to take a little detour.
It's basically we're running through the set of Notting Hill.
Something like that.
We're running through the set of the bit in Notting Hill where they walk through the set of a film.
Or it would really, really mess up the next season of... what's it called? Downton Abbey, where we just run into the middle of a garden party.
The Crown.
All sweaty.
What are those two guys doing there?
They'd have to. The thing is, they'd have to ad lib, but in the correct lingo of the day.
Oh, mind you wouldn't these days because of the anachronisms in UK TV drama. My wife still talks about the time when there's two advisors to Queen Victoria. Let's cross again. One of them is that guy, what's the name of the actor who used to be in Cold Feet? And the other guy's got the massive sideburns and they're important, you know, diplomats under Victoria. And one of them let the other one in on some privileged information and then said, just saying.
Just saying, blood.
So I don't think you have to worry too much about getting a lingo right.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's that sense of a travel book, and I'm sure that my son, the not wild about running 16-year-old, will be very much looking forward to reading.
Well, if I can convert one person to endangering their life in the wilds of Europe, I'll be happy.
What's nice as well is that we've had a lovely long run today. I don't know how far, but we're just about to get into the heath. Are we going to cross the heath to the other side? Because it's up to you. I don't know where you want to end up today.
If you're up for it, what I would normally do is a sort of half circuit, which ends up at Parliament Hill.
There you go,
let's do
that.
Hill.
Yeah.
It'll probably take about another 15 minutes.
Great, because what I want to do is jump right back to the beginning. When I met you this morning, but actually, when I came out this morning, I nearly popped on my hydration pack, which I've got. I really like it. This is a conversation we were having on the running commentary in the last episode, which was Q&A. Because we were talking about how to liquid, how to fuel. And me and Paul have been flirting with the idea of ultras for a long time, basically been sort of nudging ourselves towards it, you know, to basically make the same journey that you made in a trice 10 years ago over a really long period of time. You know, so we've done marathons, we've done our PBs. If we like distance running and it suits us, the next step is to go slower, to go further, you know. Anyway, as of now, Paul, injury permitting, is looking at doing the Marathon Sable.
I've signed up
for Race to the Stones.
Yeah, I've heard about that one, but I've never actually looked much into it.
We did a special episode for them where we went and ran the last 8 miles of it, but we did there and back, so we ran along the Ridgeway from Barbary Castle to Avebury Ring and back again. And honestly, just magical running. Really did change things. And just going past the front doors of Kenwood here. It's not as big as some of those houses we saw in Bishop's Hill, though, is it?
They have the concerts.
Yeah, it's a lovely place. They've got new concerts coming back as well. I just saw a big poster for Culture Club.
So
it's wonderful. And they do, it's 100K... but that's a there and back run. And you can either do it in one go, which I think is what you would do, because we haven't mentioned yet that you once ran 100 miles in one day.
102. Just to be pedantic.
Where was that? No, that's important. I wanted to say.
Well, that's... There's this weird phenomenon called 24-hour races, which I don't know if you discussed, but basically the idea is most races have distance as the fixed point and time is the variable.
Well, yes.
A 24-hour race is the opposite. So
yeah, right.
You have 24 hours. Usually starts on, say, a Saturday at noon, and the final whistle blows at 12 o'clock on Sunday, and you see how far you can run in that time. Now
on the track, what was the circuit?
It's in the Bathurst Estate near Cheltenham.
It's in the Bath.
It's much harder.
Yeah.
I haven't really come this particular bit, but I think I hope it'll lead me back to where I know.
Yeah, so I know.
Rather rugged.
Although we might end up in the car park. We can pull that and get back on the heath. Is that Henry Moore? Is this a Henry James novel?
There is at least one Henry Moore, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
It's just weird. Have I managed to go completely a different way from what I expected?
I think we should have gone around the house another... And then we
no, I usually run around across the grass. I go through some rhododendrons.
Oh, I see.
That might be here, actually.
If we go left through the car park, we can definitely get back to the edge of Kenwood Grounds. You're in Bathurst doing it. How long was the track for your 24-hour race? The course,
so it's 9.2 kilometres. So I did... Oh, yeah, 18... Ah, yes, I did 18 circuits. And by the end of it, I decided to run all through the night. So
yeah,
I took a lot of caffeine gels. Ah, yes, I know where we are now. I think we go to go my route, so we go up through here.
Great.
And then up there.
Oh, it's lovely as well. I'm going to get you going through this gate towards the magpie. Morning, magpie. There he goes.
See, what I did with this bit is I found a route that's almost entirely off tarmac.
Oh, lovely.
But does most of the circuit. But we were going to go through some trees and it's going to get quite cross-country.
Good. Trail it. Well, that's the nice thing about coming to Hampstead Heath is it's, and like being in Queenswood, it's the closest thing we get to trail in North London. Particularly as it's got elements of up and down as well.
Oh, yes.
So you went through the night. Did you reverse your... Did you go clockwise, anti-clockwise?
No, you run the same route. Because the marshals need to know where you are and how far you've gone.
Roughly. Yeah, right.
Just keep an eye on people. Because you're running through the night.
And it's a long lap. I think when Susie Chan did this, she was on the track. So they reverse sometimes.
Yeah.
So the bodies didn't fall apart. So, yeah, but back to running ultras. Race of Stones. You can either do 100k in one go. You can do the 50k, sleep over, run another 50k, or you can just do 50k. And I think I'm going to do the middle one.
Yeah, that sounds... Go for it, why not?
Because I'm trying to wean myself off running as fast as I can. And I love the idea of this...
I think trying to run at speaking, it's interesting for me having to have a conversation whilst running because I don't do this and there is a limit to how fast you can run.
Yes.
Whilst talking.
This is why I'm really hoping Paul's going to come too. Otherwise, I'm going to be talking to myself. Or listening to music, which I very much associate with going too fast for this kind of endeavour. Although I'm sure...
Depending on what kind of music, of course, sir. Do you find yourself trying to fall into step with the tempo?
Not really. I find I have the opposite. I'm a little bit... If anyone has really dug into my book, Running Tracks, which is about running to all different...
Oh, that's definitely one I want to read, actually.
You know, it's on my list. You know, I think one of the things I found out about myself is that I'm kind of a bit... I'm a contrarian when it comes to the music choice. So on the one hand, yes, I love heavy rock guitar riffs or pounding dance music, but I don't want it to be too on point, you know? I remember when I first was very first running.
I was Watch out for trip hazards here, by the way. Yeah,
really in the woods, like you promised. Yeah, I was running, listening to a great slice of drum and bass, the great BPM. In Edinburgh, I used to go to a great club called Tribal Function.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I might have gone to that once. We're about the same age.
Yeah, yeah. We might have handed each other citrus fruits and drink of water.
If I'd been there during my foolish youth, I would probably have come up to you and gone, oh my God, I love your shirt and everything, man, this is wonderful.
Because I
might have been a bit luffed up, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, that's right. Well, but no real difference in the finish line of an ultra, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, the endorphins will do that for you.
Yeah, that's right. Right. And if you're... in Romania, sometimes there's feral dolphins that run in the woods. But, you know, I've always got on well with dolphins. We really click. I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, I was listening to this remix of the Jungle Brothers tune, and it was just exactly the rhythm I was running at. And I thought, oh, this is great. This must be what people mean. And I started running with it. And honestly, my whole body just kind of locked up. it became so rigid and stressful that I've kind of basically avoided BPM matching any kind of rhythm ever since. It sounds like you're...
Now, this is fun. I'm going to take you in a way that doesn't really exist, but it does in my head.
I like it. And also...
So it's a beautiful... Look at that lovely idyllic path there
we're
not going to run
way.
Along.
See that? Not that way. You don't get to go
not that
way.
That's too normal.
That's beautiful.
We have to go to where all the moles...
You remind me a lot of a pregnant woman, with that sense of knowing exactly what your body needs and when.
It's incredibly, incredibly specific. This is a bit of a scramble up this bank.
I'm ready.
A bit of a scramble.
I'm ready, he said, landing badly and tugging on his own Achilles.
The quads are feeling it now.
Future ultras.
And then another school field trip to negotiate. There's a lot of it going on, isn't there?
It's the same group of kids. They're using a minibus to stay ahead of us.
Wow. Cool. This was one of the best views they can get.
Oh, it is the best view of London.
See right down to the spire.
One of them.
City.
It's great.
There's always St. Paul's there.
Yeah, the funny thing is I'm a bit sad because I always just go, oh, you can see St. Paul's from here. And I realise now that that's a planning permission thing.
Ah,
so
yes.
For St. Paul's from a green space, we should be able to see it. Though they must not be able to see it from the other side because the shard's behind it from here.
Yeah, they definitely have a protected view, as they say.
So
I'm
how far?
On that bench.
Yeah, let's do it. How far have we gone?
That should be about 10 miles, maybe less, slightly less.
10.16.
Ah, there we go.
Oh, you're good. That's perfect. 10.16, and also just under, I think, yeah. No, we did, no, I think we did two. No, it's just over 2 hours. All right, very good. I'm going to get some more pictures. Are you on the social networks?
Oh, yes.
Tell us
on,
your...
On Instagram, I'm Right to Run. That's Right with a W.
Very good.
On Twitter, I think I'm at... Let me get this right. I think it's long_run. But you can also find that at Gavin_Boiter. So that'll probably be the easiest thing.
Very good.
Remember my
and
name.
And then your books are Downhill From
Downhill
Here.
From Here.
Running the Orient.
Running the Orient. I've also got a collection of short stories that came out recently, which is a new departure for me.
Oh, I knew that you'd done it. I didn't know if it was new or old. So that's exciting. So the fiction.
Started writing short stories in the lockdown because I had nothing better to do and wasn't working again.
They're not fictions. They're alternative truths.
Yes. And, yeah, they were initially all 1,000 words long and based on words from a random word generator. So, yeah, I got 20-odd published in various magazines and I've just released a collection.
Well, then we're just at the beginning of the story.
Yeah, it's called that's called Running Coyote and Fallen Star. And I realised that, given that my first two books are about running, it might make people think that it's about running. There is actually, I think there's two stories that involve running.
Yeah, there you go, it's enough. You want to invite people in and then they'll find out more.
But there you go. Yeah, this has been great.
Yeah, thanks for today.
It's enjoyable.
It's been really good.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.